to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. This is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. Lord, we are ready for your word. Father, I pray now that you'll bless our time in your word, that all that we do and say will be pleasing in your sight. Let good seed be planted. Seed that has already been planted, let it be watered. And Father, we pray that you will bring forth the increase by the power of your spirit. Have your way today. Help us to leave here better prepared to walk in who you have called us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For a moment, I want you to think about what it is that fuels you, what it is that drives you, what is it that motivates you to do the things that you do. Some of you, under the sound of my voice, you are fueled by goals and aspirations. Some of you are fueled by desires and dreams for success, a certain status in life you want to reach. Others of you do what you do looking for promotion or titles or put in a place where you can have more power and prestige. And still others of you are driven, whether it's knowingly or unknowingly, consciously or subconsciously, you are driven by the need to be approved by others. But here's what I want you to understand. All of us here are driven by something. Every one of you who is watching is driven by something. But here's another question. What is it that drives you to do what you do for God? See, I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that there are too many of us who have already in our minds what drives us and what motivates us to do what we do in the world, to be recognized by those in the world, but we have thought little about what should drive and motivate us to do what we do for God. In our text today, in Titus chapter 3, the writer, the Apostle Paul, writing to his protege Titus, is giving us some insight into what it is that should drive us, what it is that should motivate you, what it is that should keep you going when you feel like giving up. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, how to live by God's grace. How to live by God's grace. And as we unpack this message today, I want to help you to see what it means to live by grace, not just what it means to be saved by grace. I want to share with you how grace should motivate you to live your best life and how the Holy Spirit, as a gift of grace, is given to you to help you become all that God wants you to be. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching online, you can download our church app wherever you get your apps, and you can find a fill-in-the-blank outline on the church app that you can fill out with your phone or your tablet, whatever smartphone device you have. Or, of course, you can go to our website, goodhope.org. Four things I want you to see today that I hope and pray will give you some encouragement to know how important grace is, not just in your salvation, but as you work out your soul salvation. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to realize the source of God's grace is his goodness and loving kindness. The source of God's grace is his goodness and loving kindness. Verse 4 says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared. Now, when you look at verse 4, you see it starts with a contrastive conjunction. So I want to go back to verse 3 so you understand the context within which verse 4 is given. Verse 3 says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared. That word appeared literally means to shine forth. It's the picture of a sun rising up over the horizon. It changes everything. Night moves, and here comes the light of day. And Paul says it's the goodness of God and the loving kindness of God that have become for us the source of God's grace in our lives. When he talks about the goodness of God, he's talking about the benevolent nature of God. When he's talking about the loving kindness of God, he's talking about God's merciful heart. Grace is not the invention of people. Grace is the intervention of God himself. See, God doesn't just cover our sins with grace. God conquers our sins with grace. Grace doesn't ignore sin. Grace intervenes with salvation. And if you trace every good thing in your life, it will lead back to the grace of God. Some of you recognize that you've been saved by grace, but somehow you think you've been helping God out by living in your flesh. And you have forgotten that it's all by the grace of God. A little boy fell into a deep well, and as he was going down into the well, his hands reaching out to grab something, grabbed a root that was jutting out into the well from the wall of that well. He was terrified. He was paralyzed by fear. His eyes were shut, and he could not hear anything going on around him because of the fear that had paralyzed him. People who realized that he had fallen into the well were hollering and screaming, and they were telling him to grab the rope, but he couldn't hear anything. He couldn't see anything because his ears were closed by his fear, his eyes were shut tight, and all he could do was hold on to that root that was sticking out from the wall of that well. Finally, he had held on as long as he could, and his grip began to slip. The root came out of his hand and he fell. But he only fell a couple of inches. He was so paralyzed by the fear of falling that he didn't notice that his father had been lowered into the well by another rope. And so when his hand slipped off, his father was right there to catch him. My brothers and my sisters, listen to me carefully. Grace is not something we climb up to. Grace is God coming to us in trouble, finding us where we are. Grace didn't start with your goodness. Grace is the embodiment of God's goodness, and it's an extension of his loving kindness. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Some of you are here not by accident. You're here by a God incident. And God has been so kind to you. God is saying, now listen, you made some promises to me. God says, now when are you going to make good on those promises to serve me? Look at Romans 3, 25 and 26. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus Christ. When you realize the source of grace is God's goodness and loving kindness, you stop trying to earn what he has already freely given. You stop measuring your worth by your performance and start marveling at his mercy. You stop seeing grace as a reward for good behavior and start seeing grace as the revelation of God's expectation from you based on what God has already done for you. It's an expression of God's character. So when you wake up tomorrow or go to bed tonight and the devil says, psst, you're not worthy, you're not good enough, I give you permission to agree with the devil and tell him you're absolutely right. I'm not good enough, but God is. Have I got a witness in here? His goodness is greater than your guilt, and his kindness is deeper than your shame. Grace is not the proof of how good I am. Grace is the proof of how good God has been, is being, and will be in my future. Here's the second thing I want you to see. Number two, you need to realize the substance of God's grace is his mercy, not your merit. The substance of God's grace is his mercy, not your merit. Verse 5, let's go to the A part. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. Not by works done by us in righteousness, but by his own mercy. Paul here dismantles every human reason for boasting. Paul basically says, as a child of God, you have no room, you have no right, there's no place in your life for boasting, because everything that you have gotten good has come to you by the grace of God. He says, don't boast about your position, because the cross levels the field. So regardless of race, creed, color, ethnic background, socioeconomic status, it doesn't matter. Wherever you find yourself, you are there by God's grace. He says it's not your performance, because even our best works are like filthy rags before God. He says it's not your pedigree, it's not your background, it's not who your mama was, who your daddy was, or how far back you can trace your family tree. Salvation is God's act of mercy to a helpless humanity. We're not saved by good works, through good works, or in exchange for good works. We are saved to do good works by the salvation that comes from the mercy of God. A man some years ago stood before a judge. He had been ticketed for speeding through a small town, and the officer took him to the courthouse. The fine was $200. The man hung his head and said, "Your Honor, I don't have the money. I can't pay this ticket." To his surprise and to the surprise of everyone in the courtroom, the judge stood up and took his robe off, walked down from the bench and laid $200 on the clerk's desk. Then he put his robe back on and said, "As judge, I must uphold the law. Your fine has been paid in full." The judge was the man's father. And that's mercy, y'all. See, mercy doesn't cancel the need for justice. Mercy satisfies the need for justice through compassion. That's what God did for you, and that's what God did for me. He didn't overlook our sin. He overruled it with mercy. So while you sit here pretending like you've never made a mistake, like you've never done anything wrong, and like butter doesn't melt in your mouth, here's what I know about myself. I'm not going to testify for you. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, he saved us because of his mercy. Look at Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 5. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And because it's his mercy, Here's what God says to you and to me. Stop trying to perform for God's approval and start resting in his acceptance. See, you're walking in this life trying to get the approval of other people, and then you project that same mentality on God. And God says, you don't have to work for my approval because I've already given you my acceptance. Stop trying to fix what only God can forgive. Stop living by the scoreboard of works and start living by the story of mercy. Every time you fail, remember God's mercy doesn't run out when yours does. You can't earn it. You can only receive it. You can't work for it. You can only worship and give God thanks for it. And that's why grace is so liberating, because you don't work for grace. You work from grace. And when you live like that, your life becomes a testimony that says, I am not saved by what I've done for God. I am saved by what God has done for me. I'm trying to help somebody walk in freedom today. Here's the third thing I want you to see. Number three, if you're going to live by God's grace, you need to realize the strength of God's grace is the power of the Holy Spirit. I told you the source of God's grace is goodness and loving kindness. The substance of God's grace is mercy, not your merit. The strength of God's grace is the power of the Holy Spirit. Watch what Paul says in the B part of Titus chapter 3, verse 5. By the washing of regeneration and renewal, here it is, of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let me help somebody today. Those of you who have accepted Christ as your Savior, those of you who are watching right now who have asked Jesus Christ into your life, most of you recognize, have been taught, realize that you are saved by grace. Here's the problem for too many of us who name the name of Christ. You think because you've been saved by grace that that's all of the work grace provides. And the Bible declares that while you see grace as a past event, you need to learn how to see grace as present day empowerment. In other words, however you live your life right now, once you came to know Jesus Christ by grace, he says, live the rest of your life by the same power that saved you. Because the same power that saved you is the power that can sustain you. I wish I had a witness in here somewhere. He says the Spirit of God will wash you, regenerate you. That's the new birth. The Spirit of God will renew you. And that's the whole idea of the ongoing refreshment and revitalization that the Spirit of God provides for you. In other words, grace keeps you from burning out while you're busy working. It keeps you on mission and keeps you out of just turning into mere maintenance. You don't have to go through the motions because grace provides what you need to do what God wants you to do. And when the Spirit is at work, grace overflows. So grace can turn your weariness into worship. Grace can turn pressure into your purpose. Grace can turn your frustration into fuel for your faithfulness. Imagine just for a moment if you see a beautiful lamp, polished base, elegant shade, a brand new bulb, but that light still won't go on. What you have to do is make sure that that light is plugged in to the power source. Because as good as that lamp may look, as well designed as it may be, it can never fulfill its purpose unless it's plugged in to the power source. You think I'm talking about a lamp, but I'm really talking about your life. Because as good as you may look on the outside, as well as you may perpetrate to other people that everything is good, here's what God says, as good as you look on the outside, I can't do with you what I want to do if you're not plugged in to a power source greater than yourself. Paul says, grace doesn't just save you. Grace wants to empower you. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let's read it together. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Here's the good news. You don't have to create the light, because the Bible says you are the light of the world. All Jesus requires of you is to walk by grace, tap into the power source, and let him shine through you so that those in the world might see the light of the world. Here's the fourth and final thing. Number four, you need to realize the security of God's grace is your position as an heir of eternal life. The source of God's grace is his goodness and loving kindness. The substance of God's grace is his mercy, not your merit. The strength of God's grace is the power of the Holy Spirit. And the security of God's grace, number four, is your position as an heir of eternal life. Look at verse 7, Titus chapter 3. It's right here in the verse. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He says you are not only saved by grace, you are not only sustained by grace, but you are secured by grace. Your future is secure by the grace of God. Now, some of you are so young, you're not worrying about your future yet. But there are those of us who are starting to realize, as we have more days behind us than in front of us, that we don't want to outlive our money and end up having to be a burden on our children or on you. Somebody say amen. And so we're trying to figure out now, how do we make sure we're secure in our future? Here's what Paul says. Paul says, God has provided for you spiritually so that you are not only saved and sustained by grace, but your future is secure by grace. God has you covered today, tomorrow, and moving forward. Imagine for a moment a wealthy father who wrote out his will. He left everything to his only son. But imagine if that son, when the father died, was living in poverty and unaware that he had been written in his father's will. Totally unaware that everything he needed for security had already been provided. My brothers and my sisters, that's what God says to you and says to me. While you're worrying, trying to figure it out, God says, I've already worked it out. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's why so many of you live in a kind of spiritual poverty. You are spiritual paupers because in your mind, you have failed to understand that everything you need, both in earth and eternity, has already been provided by the Lord. Some of you are living your life now fearful that you might lose some blessings if you don't live right enough, if you don't live good enough. And here's what God says. His grace is not based on your performance. His grace is based on his provision. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Let's read it together. In hope, listen, you don't have to fear being disinherited. You don't have to fear God turning his back on you. You don't have to fear that maybe you don't please God enough. God wants you to understand that fear should be cast aside when you lean and depend on the grace of God. God says you are no longer a slave, but you're a child of God.
You are no longer a beggar, but you are blessed. You no longer have to try to earn a place in God's house because God says you already have a seat at the table. You don't have to just have hope. You have been given and have inherited hope. Now God says, don't just look for eternal life. Keep living the life that God has blessed you with. When I step back and look at this passage, Paul paints a masterpiece of mercy. Paul gives a great portrait of grace in motion. He tells us about the source of grace. He tells us about the substance of grace. He tells us about the strength of grace. And then he tells us about the security of grace. That's why when you understand God's grace, you can stand on the promises of God. You don't have to boast in yourself. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody else. Because grace is on your side. Grace doesn't just cover your past. Grace doesn't just walk with you in your present. But grace guarantees your future. So somebody today ought to thank God for grace. Grace that found you when you were lost. Grace that forgave you when you were guilty. Grace that freed you when you were bound. Grace that filled you when you were empty. Grace that fixed you when you were broken. Grace that fortified you when you were weak. And grace that fueled you to keep you going when you wanted to give up. And if that grace brought you this far, the same grace will lead you home. Have I got a witness? Then let me tell you something about grace. You didn't find grace. Grace found you. You didn't earn grace. Grace embraces you. You didn't buy grace. Grace bought you. You didn't reach up to God, but God reached down to you. And because grace has reached you, let the grace of God work through you. Have I got a witness here? See, grace will remind you that you cannot earn God's favor, but you can live and express God's favor. Grace reminds you that you cannot work for grace, but you can walk in grace. So somebody today, I want you to say like the Apostle Paul, I am what I am by the grace of God. I stand where I stand by the grace of God. You might look at me and say, you don't deserve all that you have. Well, I have what I have by the grace of God. And I'm gonna hold on to that grace. Judge me if you want to, but I'm so glad that I didn't get so far out that I was beyond the grace of God reaching me. And the grace that reached me, that same grace brought me back to where I am right now. See, grace found you when you were lost. Grace forgave you when you were in sin. Grace freed you when you were in shackles. Grace filled you when you were empty. Grace built you up when you was broken down. And grace will carry you from earth to glory. Have I got a witness here? I am carried by grace. I'm confident in his grace. I'm covered by his grace. I'm saved by grace. I'm sustained by grace. I'm secure by grace. I'm strengthened by grace. I am a child of God by his grace. Yes, yes, yes. found by grace. I'm free by grace. I've been fixed by the grace of God. May not be all you think I should be, but you should have saw me before grace came in my life. Have I got one or two people who will say, if it had not been for the grace of God on my life? It was by his grace that I came a long way. Don't get it twisted, y'all. Don't think because you've been a Christian for a few years and you've read your Bible and you prayed that you're where you are by what you've done. Because even that ability to read and pray and study and fast is all an extension of God's grace. I didn't deserve God's grace when I got it, when I was saved, and I don't deserve God's grace now. And as good as you look publicly, you know there's a private side that still reminds you, if it had not been for the Lord on your side, if it had not been for God's amazing grace. Lord, have mercy. It was by the grace of the Lord. Come on. I've come a long way. I know this is old school. Some of y'all don't know this. But come on and go with us. Yeah. It was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. Yes, I have. I've been traveling through the storm and the rain, and God Almighty, Lord have mercy, he's been holding my hand. Was by the grace, yes, of the Lord I've come a long way. Anybody here, can you raise your hand? It was by the grace of God. Come on. It was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. It was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. Oh, I remember when I didn't have a dime. Oh, but the Lord, he stepped in right on time. It was by the grace, yes, of the Lord I've come a long way. Come on, let me sing that one more time. By the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. Yes, I have. It was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. Should have been dead. sleeping in my grave. But the Lord God Almighty, yes, sir, made old death behave. It was by the grace, yes, of the Lord, I've come a long way. Anybody came a long way by the grace of God? Everybody who can, everybody who will, if you stand on your feet wherever you are, even that stand you making today is by his grace. Some of y'all have been living kind of right for a minute, so you may think you deserve it. But for somebody who was tore up from the floor up, come on, somebody, it took everything just for you to get to church. You know you are standing here today only by the grace of God. And for somebody who's here today, you've never asked the Lord into your heart, into your life, I want to extend an invitation for you and for those of you who are watching. There's a QR code on the screen. I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I want you to pray for yourself and let the Lord do something miraculous in your life. Gracious God, our Father, thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you that we are not saved by what we do, but we are saved by what you have done for us through Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness that sought us, your mercy that saved us, your spirit that strengthens us, and your grace that secures us. Thank you for reminding us today that we are not saved by what we've done, but we are saved by what you have done through Jesus Christ. Help us to live every day of our lives with gratitude for your grace. Help us, God, to walk in the power of your spirit. Help us, Lord, to serve others with the same mercy that you have shown to us. And help us to stand secure, not because of who we are or what we've become, but because of the hope that we have in eternal life. And Lord, for the one who's deciding today, whether they are watching or they are in person, draw them by your spirit. Let them feel your loving kindness pulling them closer. Let them know that your mercy is greater than their mistakes. Let them know that your grace is sufficient for everything they will ever face. We'll give you the glory, and we'll give you the honor, and we'll give you the praise. We thank you. In the name of your son, Jesus, who is the giver and guarantor of your grace. Amen. If you're upstairs or down to my left or to my right, or if you're watching online, indicate in the chat you want to come to know Jesus as your Savior. If you're here, I want you to know you're here by his grace. Because some of y'all know, man, the stuff that you've done, you ain't got to go back far. You can just go to last night. Amen. You ain't got to go way back in the distant past. You can go as late as last night. Some of y'all early this morning. And God says, but my grace is available for you. And if you need God in your life, I want you to come right now. The men and women who are up front would love to show you privately how to ask the Lord into your life. If you need special prayer, they'll pray with you. They'll encourage you. But somebody today, God says, come on and grab hold of my grace. I'm extending it. God says it's up for you now. Because here's the wonderful thing about grace. Grace will meet you where you are, help you move from where you are to where you need to be, and never tell anybody where they found you. So I don't care where you are right now. Let God's grace get you where you need to be. Yeah. Come on and come right now. It was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. Mm-hmm. It
It was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. Yes, I have. I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave. But God made old death, made old death behave. Come on and come wherever you are, upstairs or down. It was by the grace, of the Lord I've come a long way. Come on, I see you coming, come on. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Listen, if you're here right now, let me tell you something about grace, because I'm just feeling somebody is sitting there saying, you know, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how messed up my life is. You don't know how tore up things are. Somebody, you're here thinking, if you knew my background, if you knew my history, y'all probably wouldn't even let me in church. And here's what I want you to know. Here's what I want you to know. If you knew our history, you might not be here. But we're all here. I said, we're all here by the grace of God. Let me see if I can get somebody that looks real Christian around you to just raise your hand if you know you're here by the grace of God. Just let them know they're not standing by themselves. You tell them you look better than you actually have been. You clean up real good. Hey! By the grace of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've come a long way. God's still not through with me. He's still working on me. He's still molding and shaping me. But it was by the grace of the Lord I've come a long way. I came through the storm, came through the rain. It was nobody but Jesus that was holding my hand. It was by the grace, of the Lord I've come a long way. I want somebody, listen, all of the folk in here that needed grace, that still need grace, just come on and join us, because you can just be one more grace needer up in here. Amen. We're not perfect, man. We struggling just like everybody else. I'm going to tell you that's what made that marriage retreat yesterday. They heard couples and people talking about their struggles. Just because you got a big coffee table size Bible don't mean you're not going to have any problems in life, problems in your marriage. But we're all here by the grace of God. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Let's pray for those who have come.
Father, we thank you and bless you for those who have come today. And we pray, God, whatever their spiritual need is, we pray that they would find it here for this season of their journey. Thank you for our Christian workers. Thank you for our reception team. Thank you for our hospitality. Thank you for the greeters. Thank you for everyone who has played a role in this decision being made. And I pray now, God, that as they continue their walk with you, that we would wrap our arms around them so that they can experience your love in a real and personal way and can continue their journey to becoming what you want them to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let all of God's people say amen. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for those who have come. Amen. Those of you who have come, if you can follow the person who has a sign that says follow me, our guest relations. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for him one more time. Come on, let's thank God for him. Should have been dead, sleeping in my grave. But the Lord made old death, made old death behave. By the grace, yes, of the Lord, I've come a long way. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise today if you're grateful for God's grace. Amen. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you in giving now. We pray that our giving would be an accurate reflection of our love for you, for you said in your word, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. I want to thank you for those, God, who have partnered in the kingdom building work here at the Good Hope Church, and may they continue to allow themselves to be used to change our church from a destination to a distribution center, to send out the loving message of Jesus Christ in thought, word, and deed, so that people who need you might know you, and people who know you will grow in you